We'll start at Colossians 3. I believe we're around verse 5. And Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. Now we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Open our hearts, open our minds, just like you opened up the scriptures so the disciples could understand the word. Lord, we're asking that you would open up our eyes and our hearts and our minds so we could understand your word. Let it leap off the page into our hearts, get into our soul and our spirit. Bring it to our remembrance when we're going through a situation, a circumstance, a temptation, a frustration, a distraction during the week. Bring your word to mind. Give us insight so we can live, so we don't have to fall into sin. We can't stop the temptation, but we don't have to sin. Allow the power of your word, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, to have us live right, act right, think right, be right, not to be saved, but because we are saved, Lord. We love you. We bless you. There's none like you and nothing too hard for you. We try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying, fallen, broken world. Lord, we need the power of your word. We need the light of your word. We thank you that it's a light and a lamp. Illuminate the way, Lord, so we can live and glorify you in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I said Colossians 3 and verse 5. And remember, family, hope you're praying every day, praying every morning. Going through the Proverbs. So far, we're in the month of April, and we've allowed the Proverbs to replace the horoscope. We're depending on the power of God, the one who created the stars, not the stars. And you should have ministered to God before you got here, and we thank God for the worship as we come and minister together. It's just an extension of what we've already done at home. Somebody say amen. So we thank God for that. We thank God for life and that more abundantly. So we should be praying and fasting, believing, seeking God daily. That just goes without saying. Got to practice it. We become what we practice. So as we get into Colossians chapter 3, remember Colossians, the first two chapters is the why. And then the next 3 and 4 is the how. So here's the how to live. It focuses on Christ as the head. Christ is preeminent. That's why. And now here's the how. So we pick it up at verse five. here's the challenge. Verse 5 says, mortify, which means to put to death, to deprive of power. Therefore, your members, which are upon the earth. And that's not like you're saying kill, but didn't say kill your church members. You know, I had to look for the Greek to make sure. Well, I'm supposed to kill my members? No. Look, God, you couldn't be saying that, right? That's why you make sure you do your study and you keep things in context. Amen. Amen. I got to go kill my members this Sunday. All right. You know, I mean, that's what it says, right? But when it's talking about the members, it's talking about it's the limbs are the parts of the body. It says you got to put to death. You have to mortify means to put to death or to deprive them of power. Bless you. So you got to deprive them of power. When it talks about your members, it talks, let's say, like your mouth. Sometimes you have to keep it shut. Amen. You deprive it of power. When you close your mouth, it has no power to say something it ain't had no business saying. Amen. That's how you deprive it of power. Or your eyes. It's certain things you don't look at. Right. Amen? Amen? And guys, we don't look twice. We see it the first time, and it would be looking like, whoa, yeah. No, you got to deprive those eyes of power. Amen. You don't look twice, Brother Jerry. Amen. You don't look three times, Brother William. with my brother Tommy. You don't look four times, all right? Mess with my single men this morning, amen? So that's what it's saying. It said you have to deprive them of power. Family, if we're going to live this Christian life victoriously, we have to deprive these members, these limbs, the eyes, the ears, certain things we listen to. Our youngsters have to understand it's just certain things that they don't need to listen to. I don't care if you like the beat. It's just you otherwise you hear things. The next thing you know, you're acting out and you're doing. So this is what Paul is saying. This is the how. But this is the difficult part, because we got the battle between the flesh and the spirit. What say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But family, if we're going to live this thing, then we have to practice depriving our certain members, our legs, our feet, certain things we don't touch, certain places we don't go. And that's just between you and God. And that's how bad do you want to live for God? How bad do you want to live victoriously for God? But here's the formula to do it. And then it gets a little bit deeper. So as I started researching, I just found how deep it is. And this is what we're going to break down as we talk about depriving of power. It says research shows that the average person speaks to themselves 12,000 times a day. We just sit around talking to ourselves, right? Y'all know you're in the car, you talking all kind of stuff. You're on the bus, you're on the train, you're walking around. So you see something, you're like, man, what is it? The average person 12,000 times a day. And some of us, we know it's a lot more than that because we crazy. We already know we crazy. I'll be the first to. I'm not in denial. I know I'm crazy. But our success and failure in life, and especially when it comes to our relationship with God, it depends on, as we're speaking to ourselves, what are we saying to ourselves? What are you quoting to yourself? What are you telling yourself about yourself? What are you telling yourself about your situation? What are you telling yourself about God? What are you saying about your marriage? What are you saying about your singleness? What are you saying about your kids? What are you saying about your family? Our success and failure as children of God depends on what we're saying to ourselves day after day after day that nobody else knows about but you and God. All right, so let's look. Let's go to Mark 5:36. 5:36. Let's get there. Let's go on a journey. And now we're going to talk about, this is the journey of what do we say to ourselves to deprive the flesh of its power. I say Mark 5:36. You there, say amen. Amen. Oh, and Natalie, you know we're going to be all over the place, all right? All right. Mark 5:36. Somebody underline, as soon as. She got to talk to you. As soon as that foolishness comes in your mind, you better quote the word. As soon as. Look what happened. He says, as soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, underline that, be not afraid, only believe. As soon as. He didn't let it stay there. He didn't let him contemplate, because they told him his daughter was dead. As soon as Jesus heard that foolishness, he jumped right in with the word, be not afraid, only believe. As soon as that coworker, as soon as your kids, as soon as, just, you got to hear the word, be not afraid, only believe. Soon as they call you in the office and give you that pink slip and say, we're laying off, you better hear this. God said, you better hear Jesus speaking to you. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Soon as you go in that doctor's office and they tell you this, that, and the other, and that, and you want to panic, you want to start falling apart, you better hear that as soon as. What do we say to ourselves? We got to deprive the flesh of its power by standing on the word as soon as. Let's go to Luke 24. Family, if we can't stand on the word, then we might as well get out of the game. Luke 24:36-38. We went over this during Easter Sunday. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Quietness be unto you. Rest be unto you. What are you telling yourself when you get the call, when you don't get the call, when you don't get the promotion? What do you say to yourself when you do get the job? You can't be so excited that you forget about God. You still got to rest in God even when you get promoted, when you get the contract, when things are going well. Verse 7, remember, we have a choice, but they were terrified and had doubts. And suppose that they had seen a spirit, verse 38. And he said unto them, here's the word, why are you troubled? Somebody need to underline that. This is God speaking to you right now. We sang the song, how awesome God is. And then God is asking you right now, so why are you troubled? And why do these doubts arise in your heart? What do we say to ourselves? We got to deprive the flesh of its power if we're going to live this thing. And we can, but we got to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of his word. See, these are scriptures. After you read the Proverbs, these are just small scriptures that you memorize and that you carry with you throughout the day. Because trust me, at some point between Sunday and next Sunday, you need to know this. You're going to need these. Why are you troubled? And why are these doubts arising in your heart? All right, now let's go to one of my favorite passages of scripture. Let's go to Philippians. Let's break it down even further. Let's go to Philippians 4:4. Philippians 4:4. So we talked about putting the flesh to death, deprive it of power so I can live this thing. We speak to ourselves 12,000 times a day. What are we saying? Then we get to Philippians 4:4. Excuse me. Paul is writing to Philippians. He's writing, talking about unity because they were having, you know, just few rifts in the church or whatever. So Paul comes speaking about unity to the church at Philippi. Verse 4, did I say Philippians 4:4? First thing he says is to rejoice. Rejoice is a salutation. It's a greeting. It's the same. When you come and see somebody, you say rejoice. And when we're leaving today, you say rejoice. It's both. It's a coming and a going. It's a farewell. It's a hello. It means to be well. It means to be blessed. Regardless of what you're going through, rejoice. I knew I wouldn't get much help on that. So Paul is greeting them. It means to thrive. It means to be calm. It means to be happy. It means to be well off. It means rejoice exceedingly. So he greets them and he says, rejoice. But then he says it again. Rejoice in the Lord. Be happy in the Lord. Always. Somebody, oh my gosh, this is a tough word, ain't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. So you're going to come to my office. You can say, Pastor, you ain't going to believe what's going on in my life. I'm going to say, rejoice. And then when you leave, I'm going to say, rejoice. In the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. That's all you're going to get. We're not going to have some pity party and all this. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's the greeting. That's how you deprive the flesh of its power. See, because look how it goes. All right. And it says, let your gentleness or your kindness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming. And then he gets to, you got to rejoice, as opposed to verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Okay, anxious, worried, stressed out, depressed, overly concerned about relationships, jobs, promotions, bills, debt, success, failure, those kids, that spouse, your singleness, the grandkids, this church. Says, stop being anxious. Rejoice and stop being anxious for all this stuff. Don't be stressed out for nothing. Underline that in verse 6. And it gets deeper. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul, I'm not even trying to hear all that stuff. Word moderation means be considerate, be gentle, be unselfish. Why? Because the Lord is right here with us. Not only is he coming, but he's also right here. That's what it means with the Lord is at hand. Not only is he coming back, but he's actually right here. So don't be selfish, be gentle, be caring, be loving to all men, all mankind. And then verse 6, stop being stressed out over nothing. But in everything, here we go. So this is how you deprive the flesh of its power. In everything, praying, and the praying also means worship. And petitioning means seeking, being thankful as we talk to God daily. Let your requests be made known unto God daily. Then it gets deeper. It says, and the peace of God. Underline the peace of God, because that talks about the attitude. The peace of God. OK, now here's peace. It talks about it is free from havoc or war. We talked about this before. It's the quietness. So the peace of God, the quietness of God, the rest of God, the harmony of God. Peace in the Greek means just a blessed state. So here we are. And the peace of God which passeth. And you would be surprised what a little word like passeth means in the Greek. I almost skipped over it. The peace of God which passeth. Passeth means in the Greek superior. The peace of God is superior. It's better. It's higher. It's supreme. It's above all. It stands out. It's over the top. It's superior in rank and power and authority. So here we are. We have the peace of God, which is superior over everything. And all the understanding, anything that you could comprehend, the peace of God surpasses all that. And it says, shall guard or shall keep your heart. OK, so look, here's the revelation in it. Remember, we come to church not just for information, and revelation, and then we apply it, which becomes transformation. But here's a revelation as I'm studying, right? And I'm just trying to sound deep, but don't worry about it. All right. It's a battle going on for our heart. You have the peace of God and you have your heart. And it's a battle for it. Either the peace of God is going to rule your heart, or your heart is going to rule your heart. And I said, what's so wrong about if you let your heart lead you? Why do we need to have our heart guarded? Let the peace of God guard your heart. And that spoke of military terms. Let me see. I wrote it down so I wouldn't. To guard or protect by a military guard to prevent a hostile invasion. You don't want a hostile invasion to come in and take over your heart. To be a watcher in advance. Something needs to come and guard your heart. So as you move forward, you won't get taken over by a hostile invasion. And that's but who guards your heart? The peace of God, the quietness of God, the rest of God, the harmony of God. So when somebody calls and said, hey, this is what's going on, the peace says, don't listen to that. You better calm down. It ain't all that. Don't you listen to that. The doctor said, the peace of God said, you better chill. What are you getting upset? What are you troubled about? What are you worried about? I got your heart. I got you. So here's the peace of God trying to guard your heart. Amen. And if you don't allow it to, then here comes all this other stuff. And then you're not depriving the flesh of its power. How many of you have ever been to Washington, D.C.? All right. How many of you have ever heard of Washington, D.C.? they have this thing at the Arlington National Cemetery. They have this thing, and Big C, you know about this. Any other military besides Big C? The tomb of the unknown soldier. And they have 24/7 guards that it's an unknown soldier from World War I. And every 30 minutes, the changing of the guard. They walk 21 steps. They stop and they turn this way for 21 seconds. They go back the other way. It's all in 21s because it's the highest you can do with a 21-gun salute. It's the highest you can go. And they guard that tomb 24/7, every 30 minutes. I remember we were there, and it's just amazing. This guy is watching. It's considered an honor to guard this tomb. And so at the end of his, when his 30 minutes are almost up, you see another guy waiting in the wings or another lady waiting in the wings. And then when his is up, they just come take over. Whether it's raining, whether it's snow, whether it's sleet, whether it's hail, 24/7. You go at 3 in the morning, and you're going to see in those 30-minute shifts or the hour shift that they never stop guarding that tomb. Never. Freezing cold. So they do it for 2 years. They get assigned for it. They volunteer for 2 years. And this is the type of guard God said, I want to guard your heart like that. Because there's some stuff that can get into your heart. And see, without the peace of God guarding our heart, we're capable of doing anything ungodly that comes to mind. Somebody say amen. So how do you deny the flesh of its power? You guard your heart. You allow the peace of God to guard your heart. Now, look, I was trying to figure out, and we've gone over this before, but it deserves repeating. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. So you can say, well, my heart is cool. I'm going to just guide. I'm going to live by my heart. Where you say, Sister Sherry, I don't think you want to do that. Please don't do that. Why do I need my heart guarded? Why do I need the peace of God? So when somebody cuts me off on the road, I'm saying, God, the peace is too. You need it. You need to quiet that down. Get home. My saying is get home safely. Watch out for idiots and get home safely. Watch out for idiots. Get home safely. It's not even worth it. It's the peace of God guarding our heart. It passes all understanding. Jeremiah 17:9. So why do I need my heart guarded? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. And it's desperately wicked. It's incurably sick. That's what that desperately wicked means. Your heart, our heart, is incurably sick. Who can know it? That's why you need your heart guarded. It's incurably sick. To our young ladies, our youth, we tell them, you don't give your heart to anybody but God. So last thing you do, well, I fell in love and gave you my heart. Number one, you don't even know your heart. You don't even know it enough to give it away. It's desperate. You don't even know what it's capable of. If we don't allow the peace of God, let's go back to Philippians and 4:7. If we don't allow the peace of God to rule our heart, we will find ourselves in situations, circumstances, caught up, any type of ungodly behavior, because if you let that heart out the cage, it'll do anything. It's like a wild animal. You better keep that thing guarded and locked up. And the only thing that can guard it is the peace of God. The quietness. Free from havoc and war. God says, chill. But God says, quiet. God says, rest. But you don't know what they did to me. You didn't. God says, stay in your blessed state of mind. Don't get out of the blessed state of mind that you're in. Let me guard that. I got this. Then it comes back. Do we believe what God even tells us? Then Paul says, so make a note. It's a battle. The peace of God is trying to rule your heart, and your heart is trying to do whatever it wants to do, whatever feels good, whatever comes to mind. So then here we come to verse 8. Remember, don't let the hostile invasion, it's a hostile invasion that wants to take over our hearts. Whew, we're in the middle of that spiritual warfare. And if we look back on the times of our life when we got caught up in the sin, it was because we let our guard down. We didn't let God guard our hearts. We took over. And what that's basically saying is I get the mindset that what the world has or what this other stuff has for me is better than what God has for me. It's not true. Keep your heart guarded. Don't believe the lies. Don't be deceived. You know, I had to do this because I had to lie because I had to sleep around because I had to do this because don't believe the lies. Guard your heart. Okay, we will do things that are completely out of character. Doesn't mean that was you, but if you let your guard down, you do something that's like, how did that happen? Well, I let my guard down. I didn't let God guard my heart. It's an everyday battle. It doesn't get easier. We have to deprive the flesh of its power. That's why I said, kill that stuff. Kill the flesh. Kill your members. Kill the members of your... Deprive, don't give them any power, because if you give that tongue some power, you give that mouth some power, you give those feet, those hands some power, they're going to be doing anything ungodly. So then he breaks it all the way down in verse 8. And he says, finally, that word finally in the Greek means at last, but it also means for your future. For your future, brethren and sister, this is how I need you to think now. You got to kill the flesh. You got to pray. You got to fast. You got to be thankful. Let God guard your heart. And then finally, how to think. And that word think means to meditate. This is what you got to meditate on. Things that are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. This is what I need you to think about. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, I need you to meditate on these things. It's how you deprive the flesh of its power. You're not even thinking about certain stuff. And when it comes, you rebuke and cast it down immediately. See, we're doing stuff we shouldn't even be thinking about. Paul said, don't even think about it. We just skip over that. We just go right to doing. We're doing stuff we shouldn't even be thinking about. So, you know, I had to break down the words. So what true means, what's that you love the truth and that you speak the truth. Honest is just being honorable. Do things that are truthful and honorable. Just means acceptable to God. Not to the world, not to the culture, not to the people, but what's acceptable and holy to God. That's what just means. That's what we should be thinking about. Pure, clean, modest, pure from carnality. And then lovely is acceptable and pleasing to God as well. A good report, speak well of. Speak well of people. Speak well of your church. Speak well of your pastor. Speak well of your spouse. Speak well of your kids. Kids, speak well of your parents. Family, let's speak well of each other. That's what we should be thinking about. When that other stuff comes to mind, you cast it down and rebuke it. Because it's not good for your future. It's not good for our future. It's not good for us moving forward. Virtue, if there be any virtue, any moral excellence. It's a word you don't hear anymore, moral excellence. There be any praise, a commendation of lifting up. Is it going to lift somebody up or is it going to tear them down? He says, then you meditate on these things. That's how you deprive the flesh of its power. You see, it's the toughest job we're going to get. Well, Pastor, how do you do it? Well, you practice these things. That's what you do. You practice. You practice, you practice, you practice. If you practice at living right, you get good at it. If you practice at thinking right, you get good at it. If you practice not taking a second look, you get good at it. There's no way around it. You got to practice. Why is it that we think we can do everything in life? We got to go to school and learn a skill. We got to learn a trade. We got to practice it. We have to do it. But then when it comes to living for God, we think it just happens. You don't have to practice living for God. Are you kidding? You don't have to practice turning the other cheek. You don't have to practice thinking right. You don't have to practice guarding your heart. Yeah, but the more you practice, you get good at it. All right, and let me finish with this. Paul says those things, verse 9, those things which you have both learned. Now Paul talks about obedience. When he talked about the peace of God, it's the attitude that you have that you allow God to guard your heart. But when he talks about the God of peace in verse 9, he talks about being obedient, so the God of peace shall be with you. The peace of God, the peace of God is an attitude. The God of peace is obedience. Two different things. Look how he uses them. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace, not the peace of God, but the God of peace, shall be with you. If you want God to bless your life, to be with you, his hand to be upon you, then you got to be obedient. And it means you got to, the word do means you got to start practicing these things. If you want to live a life that's well-pleasing to God and you feel the power of God and the presence of God in your life, you're not feeling shame and guilt and all this other kind of stuff, then you got to be obedient. Other than that, we play this game with ourselves, but we're not being obedient. So I looked them up, of course. Paul says the things that learned. Learned means to use, by use and practice, to make a habit. Paul said those things which you have both learned, the things that you've practiced, the things that you use, the things that you've made a habit, and then the things that you received them in your mind. And then the things that you've heard, that you understand, God's given you insight. And then seen, to observe, discern, to notice, examine, perceive, and discover. You've seen all those things in me. You saw me lead an example. Now you go out and do. And do means to practice, to perform, to make it a habit. Paul says, now you go out and live these things and watch God be with you. Hi, baby. I'm on. OK, I didn't know if they heard me in the back. Paul says you start practicing these things and then you watch the God of peace. And then the other attitude is we got to have the peace of God guarding and then the peace of God leading. Let me say that again. I don't know if I said that right. The peace of God guarding and the God of peace leading. That sounds right. I got it right that time. All right, now let's turn forward to Philippians 3 and 5. All that just to talk about killing those members, right? Mortify, put to death, deprive of power, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, your hands, your feet, your tongue, your lips, your legs, your arms. You got to get that stuff under subjection. How do we do it? Through our thought process. The peace of God and the God of peace. Then he goes on, he breaks them down, which we'll have to break down next week. The fornication, in case you want to know what he's talking about. The fornication, the uncleanness, the inordinate affection, the evil concupiscence, science, or whatever. And I'll break it down for you next week. Don't worry. We'll get to the bottom of it. And the covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6, for which things sake, the things sake, I can't wait to break that down for you next week. The wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. But before you get too high and mighty, verse 7, in the which you also walked sometime. And when you lived in them, so don't try and get all I'm so holy walking through the door. We'll break all that down. I said, just we got to kill that stuff because, and then we're so sensitive to others because, like you said, we were there too. But by the grace of God, there go I. So I could never look down. We could never look down on anybody because we were right. And you not only said you walked in them, but you lived in them. Thank God for the grace. Thank God. That's all I can say. For by grace are we saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, because nobody can boast about I got myself together. We're all in this together, family. Daily we are battling. We are fighting. Go over those scriptures again in Philippians. Go over the scriptures in Mark and Luke. Why are you troubled? Family, let the peace of God, let the rest of God start practice. You're going to have an opportunity today. You're going to get a call. Somebody going to say something. Somebody going to do something. And God going to say, chill. And just practice that. Let God, and then watch God handle it and watch the testimony of the goodness of God come out of that. Instead of us getting deeper and deeper in foolishness, let God handle some stuff. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Let us pray. So, Lord, what a challenge. What a message. Oh, Lord, we love the challenge because we don't want to be the same. We thank you that the peace of God can guard our hearts and our mind through Christ Jesus. It guards our hearts and it guards our thoughts, our perceptions, what we say to ourselves, how we say it. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Guard our hearts. Let us rest in you. Let us be quiet in you. Let us have harmony. Let us just enjoy the blessed state in you that you've given us. Lord, forgive us of the times we tried to take over and messed it up. And thank you for a second chance to get it right, Lord. We don't want any picture that the enemy paints to disturb the peace of God from guarding our heart. And then we want to be obedient so the God of peace shall be with us each and everywhere we go. And we're confident in you because we're practicing what we're reading. So, Lord, I pray maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, my first step is to accept Jesus Christ. I've never done that. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Say, Pastor, I just don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want to. I want the peace of God to rule my heart, but I can't have the peace of God ruling my heart until Jesus Christ is in my heart. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, need to rededicate my life. I've been letting my heart rule my heart. That's always a bad mix. Because the heart is incurably sick. So many songs and things made about the heart, which makes it seem so kind and so loving. But the word says it's incurably sick. And without God guarding our heart, we are capable of anything. Maybe you just need to rededicate that heart to the peace of God. That's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. Pastor, I've been visiting. I want to just plant my feet. That's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you, Lord. It's nothing too hard for you. God, we're so encouraged and empowered that we could actually do this, even though it's the toughest thing we're going to do, but we can. Because your word says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you that we don't have to do it alone, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live this thing. And we thank you, Lord. I'm going to invite Sister Wilma to come on up. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. And Sister Wilma's meant so much to the ministry, and God's blessed her with a job, and she is relocating. We might see her sometime, but she'll be out in Santa Ana. So I'm going to have the ladies come up and surround her. Come on, Sister Wilma. We're going to send you off with God's blessings. Some of my ladies in the ministry. Some of the sisters who's walked side by side with you since you've been here. Sister Wilma had missed the bus. She was trying to get to another church about a year and a half ago. And then she was walking back. She lives right across the street. She is walking back and just came and sat in the back. And she's been here for a year and a half.
Amen.
For this season, she gave her testimony on Wednesday night how God has strengthened her. And now he has another assignment for her. So if you would, just bow your heads and agree with me as we touch. And Lord, we thank you for Wilma. We thank you for sending her our way, Lord. Wasn't an accident, wasn't happenstance, wasn't a coincidence, Lord, but you saw fit to prepare her, Lord, for such a time as this, to strengthen her, Lord, as you send her out to her next assignment. A year and a half seems like a short time. It seems like a long time, but Lord, we know it was your time. We thank you, Lord, for her job, for her promotion, for her new place, Lord, how you just allowed it all just to fall into place. In like a week's time.
Yes, Lord. Thank you so much.
So we thank you for the doors that you've opened for her.
Yes, God.
We thank you that this is not goodbye. It's just we'll see you soon.
Yes, God.
We pray for her to find a church home out near her home, yes, Lord, that that loves God, that loves God's people, that teaches the word.
Yes, God.
No games, no tricks, no gimmicks. The word of God in times like these.
Yes, Lord.
And the love of God coming from God's people.
Yes, God.
So we pray, Lord, open that door for her. She was involved in ministry here. We pray that you open a door for her to be involved in ministry there as well.
Yes,
cover her, keep her, Lord. We send her out with a blessing.
Yes, sir.
The blessing of South Bay Abundant Life Church. We will always have her on our prayer list on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yes, please.
Pray for her family.
Yes.
Pray for her kids. Pray for her ministry in the Philippines, Lord. You cover, you keep, you move, you guide, you protect, you lead, you direct, Lord. We give you the glory for this life and all she's meant here and all she means to the body of Christ. We thank you for it. So we lay hands on her, we cover, we bless. Open doors, Lord. Thank you for the assignment here. Thank you for the assignment she's walking into. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray.